From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Edson. A few weeks ago, I was covering protests in downtown Berkeley. Thousands of people marching through the streets to demonstrate against a planned right-wing rally. It was a beautiful day, the sky was clear, kids with signs walked next to their parents, protesters danced and sang on an impromptu stage. It felt like a typical Berkeley protest, pretty peaceful, until it wasn't.
Joey!
Not these out of Berkeley! Not these out of Berkeley!
I'm here in peace!
Not these out of Berkeley!
I'm here in peace!
You came to Berkeley to get all this attention, but the people ain't gonna allow you to have it! You guys ain't working!
I was following a crowd of people who were yelling at some right-wing activists and chasing them away. Now, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a middle-aged man with a video camera being attacked.
The first blow hit me on the head, and then it clicked. It's like, oh no, this is not going to be good. And then I remember getting hit a couple more times on the head, and like people forcing me down. And then it was like, I just remember feeling the impact.
Five people dressed in black with masks on their faces brutally beat the man to the ground. They kicked, punched, and hit him with poles while he lay there in the fetal position.
I realized that I was in serious trouble, but I think even as they were pummeling me and I was going down, like it was going through my head, it's like, I can't believe this is actually happening to me. I mean, I knew there was a risk.
All of this happened so quickly. I didn't know who he was, what he'd done, or why they jumped him. But in that moment, I thought, they're going to kill him.
Yeah, I was feeling everything, and I thought, This is it. I'm going to die. It's like they don't seem to be wanting to let up and nobody's around. So I think I said a quick prayer and I thought, I hope this is quick because this really hurts and I don't want this to go on another 5 minutes.
When I saw what was happening, I did something kind of crazy. I didn't really think about it. I just reacted. I ran over to help him. I pushed someone out of the way and dropped on top of the man, shielding him with my body. Time seemed to slow in that moment. I braced myself for a beating that never came. Others came over to break up the fight. The mob moved on. After that, I don't remember what happened, but other reporters were rolling video and the scene of me, a black journalist, protecting a white right-wing activist went viral. When it was over, I was sitting on the curb of the street, adrenaline pumping through my blood, fog from a smoke grenade clouding my eyes, a crowd moving around me, and I wondered, how do we get here? Today, we're going to peel back the layers and find out why all these people converged at that one moment, at one rally, at one fight in Berkeley, and see how it connects to protests all over America. We're going to do it through the people who were involved in that fight. From the man who planned a right-wing rally that weekend.
I'm pretty happy about the way the weekend went. It was pretty successful in terms of our goals.
To the man I protected from that attack.
And I couldn't believe it. You know, you didn't know who I was. You know, for all I knew, you might have figured I was a Nazi.
To one of the guys in the crew that carried out the attack, he tells me that beatdown was anything but random.
Number one, his name is Keith Campbell, the man that you jumped on and saved. And he owes you a lot. I mean, he should be paying you a lot of money because he got off with a lot less than he deserves.
What does he mean by that? I'm going to talk to him in a minute, but first, I wanted to bring in Reveal's Will Carlos, who's been reporting on the rise of right-wing groups and the anti-fascist or Antifa movement that has emerged to confront them. And Will, let's start with the man who said that he helped plan the beating at the rally. He says he's a member of Antifa, and you'd actually been interviewing him for weeks before the rally. So tell me, who is he?
Well, we don't really know exactly who he is. He won't give us his name. We only know him by Dominic, but he's an activist from the Bay Area. He lives in Oakland. He says he's been fighting Nazis for 20 years. He used to be in a group called the Anti-Racist Action. He identifies as an anarchist, and he's essentially a member of the militant wing of the Bay Area Antifa, which has been building up over the last year or so.
There's been a lot of talk about Antifa recently in the media. President Trump has called them out. Now, that's quite a change for a small band of anarchists.
That's right. And what we've seen is Antifa really grow over the last year or so. But this is a movement that stretches right the way back to the 1920s and 1930s in Europe, and that largely arrived in the US in about the sort of late 1980s. And that's actually where Dominic got his start. They started by kind of outing neo-Nazis, mainly in the punk music scene, also going to clubs, music clubs, where racist bands wanted to play and exposing them to them. What this group has kind of turned into these days is a collection of, most of them are anarchists, and they're all about basically shutting down hate speech. Their idea is that hate speech is not free speech. And so if people want to come and be racist and say racist things and hurtful things, then they see their role as kind of going in and shutting those people down and not letting them into their community.
I think for a long time, more mainstream progressives kept people like Dominic at arm's length. But as you and I saw at the Berkeley rally, something has definitely changed.
Yeah, you're right. I think the violence at the white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, and remember that was just 2 weeks earlier, and especially the death of Heather Heyer, that had really changed the view towards Antifa. And that was most evident, I think, in the moment in Berkeley when the more militant protesters joined the main crowd. So you had this very diverse crowd of protesters from young people to older people, sort of more moderate groups. And then I actually got a message from Dominic, and he says, we're coming around the corner, and here they come. And there's about 200 of them marching in what they call a black block formation, which is these people dressed head to toe in black, marching in a very tight unit, banging on their shields. And the main protesters were not scared of these guys. They were welcoming. They high-fived them. They were shouting, you know, give it up for the black bloc. Like, here come these people. And the idea was that they were there to protect them, to provide security.
This is a coordinated thing, folks. So just hang with us. We are unified in our politics of anti-fascism confronting white supremacy. Welcome, black bloc.
It turns out that Dominic and his crew weren't just there to provide defense. They also planned on going on the offensive. They had a hit list of several right-wing activists. If any of those people showed up, Dominic was prepared to go after them. A couple days after the rally, we asked Dominic to come into the studio. He showed up, and I have to admit, he's a pretty intimidating dude. He's in great shape. His body is built like a boxer, and he eats like one, too.
Yeah, hard-boiled eggs, tuna fish, crackers, protein bars, oranges, muscle milk.
About to say, that's a workout diet.
As much protein as I can get.
Dominic says they extricated three people the day of the protest, meaning they physically removed them. He was still pretty mad at me for stepping in and protecting Keith Campbell. He says they were targeting Keith for a reason.
Really, I felt like you were standing in the way of a community response. They came for a fight. The community, through their representatives and all these organizations, mandated us to be the security for that and to protect them, to be the first line of defense, and also to extricate those that would wish to do them harm or to cause a scene or to rile them up. There was no regrets. We have no regrets. The only regret I have is that I didn't pull you off so we could finish on him. And I say that in the hopes that when he gets up, if whatever damage it is, or if he has to go to the hospital, that maybe he'll reevaluate what he's dedicated his life to as a 50-some-year-old man. Maybe he'll say, is this worth it to me, this movement? That am I willing to give my bones and my life to a movement that these people are calling a fascist movement? I'm willing to give my life for the anti-fascist movement. Is he willing to give his for the fascist one?
I was at the rally. And I would say, like, there were several Trump supporters here and there. But you're talking about, like, three individuals. So it's like 200 of you against three. That seemed like really unequal odds.
the reason why the violence was only those three incidents was because there was overwhelming numbers. If there were overwhelming numbers in Charlottesville, maybe Heather Heyer would still be alive today. We don't know.
So the question that I have for you is, what does defense mean to you? Because defense to me means that you are standing in the perimeter and you are protecting people behind you. But if a guy is there with a camera and he doesn't have a weapon, running after and chasing him seems like offense to me.
Sure, absolutely. When we say community self-defense, it's not just when the KKK rides into town with torches. That's when we organize and come together to respond. We respond beforehand and we organize beforehand. So that means people that are known fascists are known to attack us or organize these fascist rallies that have led to people being murdered. But the point is that you've got people in that movement around the periphery that are disaffected, white men or don't have a job and need someone to blame, just like people needed someone to blame in the 30s in Germany. So I'm saying if this man, specifically Keith Campbell, now goes and kills someone, that you have to live with that.
I don't have to live with that because I'm not the person behind him pulling the gun. You're saying that like your defensive stance also includes offense, because it would have to be, if that guy did not have a weapon, was not coming to attack you, all he was using was words, and you're saying that the way you defend your community is you go after and you get him. Because the path that he's taking could lead towards violence in the future, or the path that he's taken has had violence in the past. But either way, you feel like your defensive stance is to go out and get him if he's in your vicinity.
I'm saying we use his own words directly, which he refers to, "I want to whoop their ass." He references knives. He openly communicates with.
But he didn't have any of that. So
we're going to wait for him to have it?
I don't know. That's the question I'm asking you.
So I'm saying no. I'm saying we break his legs now so that then maybe he'll consider the next time if it's worth it to him.
Do you think that that deterrence is actually going to stop them, though?
No, I don't. I think what's going to stop them is what really happened and what should be the headlines of all the newspapers was that such a broad coalition of people came out to stand up against white supremacy and say that in this day and age, we stand up to people that espouse those ideologies.
Here's the thing. You just said that you don't think that the deterrence is actually going to work. What's going to work is people gathering together. Right. So if that is what's working, then how is the violence working? Because you're saying that, like, you're going to break his legs hoping that it's a deterrent. But then when I asked you, you said, no, that's not the deterrent. The people are the deterrent. So like if the violence isn't the actual deterrence, but the people is, why not concentrate on peacefully gathering everybody together and showing that strength?
Yeah, that's true. I should have made it more clear. So violence is absolutely the last line of defense. That's the last thing that we ever want to do. And that's what I've been trying to say is that the organizing has been done and gone into that. That coalition building, that is the nonviolence. The fact that we had to extricate three people, that's just one aspect of what's more important, which was the coalition and these groups that came together that haven't been able to work together for years.
Do you feel like your movement is a revolution?
I'm a revolutionary, and I believe in we absolutely need a revolutionary movement to actually get rid of institutional racism.
At its root, a revolution and a revolutionary is a dream for what's possible, right? Like you have a dream, you have an idea. Like, what is your dream?
That we have a society that is communal, that there's a free association, that is non-hierarchical, that doesn't have classes, that doesn't have one class of people lording over another, that isn't discriminatory based on sexual orientation or color or any of those other things. So all that peace and hippie crap of egalitarianism in communal, non-hierarchical structures.
And you think that peace and hippie crap is going to happen through violence?
No, I think that's a component of a winning strategy. The winning strategy is the coalition, and that's what we built. And that's our strategy. Those that don't agree with it don't have to participate. And if the movement's really going to crush this new fascist era, it's going to be done by the coalition that was created. It's going to happen from the community building and recognizing that we're not just crazy anarchists that want to do property destruction or wanton violence or just a mob mentality just to beat people up. Keith Campbell was targeted. Those people were targeted, And what I saw when I saw him is I saw that image of that car plowing through those people. When I saw Keith Campbell that day, all I could think of was that car plowing into those people in Charlottesville.
Again, that was Dominic. He's a member of Antifa. He won't share his name with us, not because he's ashamed of what he believes in, but because he doesn't want to get arrested. And he wasn't the only one at the rally thinking about Charlottesville.
I think for many of us, it was a heightened sense that, wow, these folks are very serious about causing harm.
Mike McBride is a pastor at the Way Church in Berkeley. He spoke at the rally from the back of a flatbed truck. He says on that day, social media was buzzing with rants from white supremacists threatening violence. So he told his parishioners to be on guard.
We told them you cannot walk through your own city by yourself at all today. Because online there were people that were saying they were coming to stab and hurt people.
Pastor Mike showed us a video he found on Twitter. 3 20-something white guys are driving around downtown Berkeley. It's just after the rally, and they're furious that their side got crushed.
All I could think of was there needs to be a war, and these people need to be destroyed.
We need to form militias, guys. Get your guns. Days like these make me so sympathetic to that guy who drove the Dodge truck in that crowd.
It's kind of hard to make out, but one of the guys is expressing sympathy for James Fields, the man police say drove a car into protesters in Charlottesville, killing Heather Heyer. We confirmed the video is real, and the guys in it were at the rally. Now, Pastor Mike says it's that kind of rhetoric that's getting people to rally around Antifa. He says in the past that he was uncomfortable with Antifa's tactics like trashing store windows and attacking police. But it's different when white supremacists are coming into your neighborhood and you don't trust that the cops will protect you.
We literally have 200 years of organized white supremacists who have done harm to our communities, and folks don't feel like their public presence requires some surveillance or tracking or following these people.
So that's where Antifa and their supporters are coming from. But what about their right-wing opponents? When we come back, we'll hear from the people who organized the rally in Charlottesville.
Honestly, like, going up to, like, MSNBC and then them interviewing you and you saying, yeah, I actually think that we should kill every non-white on the planet, even if it's your true belief, that's not the objective of this rally.
That's next on Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.